Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, get ready for Cheryl Lee Ralph. Yeah, baby, that's me. And Diva Talk Radio.
This is Cheryl Lee Ralph, and welcome to another divinely inspired, victoriously anointed Diva Moment. Let today be the day that you take the time to acknowledge that you are a very precious gift from God and a very important person to the world. Admit it. You are kind, you are compassionate, you are gifted, and no matter what battles you may be fighting right now, according to the Bible, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Yes, you may be going through some tough times, but just know that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, and God wants you to make it. God always has your back. Even when you feel like you are all alone, you must believe that God is right there beside you, taking the walk with you. God wants you to carry on in the midst of your storm and have faith, knowing that after the storm comes the calm. This has been Cheryl Lee Ralph with another divinely inspired, victoriously anointed Diva Moment.
This is Cheryl Lee Ralph, and welcome back to Divinely Inspired, Victoriously Awesome Talk, real conversations with some of the most interesting people on the planet. And today's guest is exactly one of those people. This man can do it all. He is an incredibly talented man, whether you're talking on the radio, writing books, on TV, because yes, I remember when he had a television show, or just being a dad, talking about the experiences of men. My guest today is the one, the only, Michael Bazin. Michael, how are you? Okay. Man, I'm doing good. I was so glad to hear that we were going to have you on the show as a guest today. I was like, yes, that is my friend. So when you wake up every morning to do what it is you do, and you know, we all loved you so much on the radio, and then it's not there, I mean, what does that feel like? Because, you know, everybody's thinking, well, my gosh, we're not going to have him on the radio? What's he doing? What does it feel like not to be doing what you do?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm busier now than I was then. You know, radio, at least it kept you stationary. Now I'm able to move around. I immediately started, finished graduating my daughter from college. She's graduated from FIU, so that was important.
Oh, that's a big round of applause right there. I mean, being a dad to your daughter, getting her all the way through college, that's a huge accomplishment right there. If all you did was just that in life, that would be another huge drum roll with applause.
And then I had to finish the book. You know, I actually started laying out the book that is now finished, the new book, Raise Your Hand If You Have Issues. So I immediately started working full-time on that. And right after that was over, I moved to Orlando to get involved in mentoring, and things haven't stopped since. I'm mentoring 28 young men at Evans High School in Orlando with the teacher Jarvis Wheeler, and we're building a program that we're going to be taking national with Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and African-American Fraternity. So nothing has stopped. I Facebook every day. I've been on there every day. Our numbers have doubled since we've been off the air. So the beat goes on. There's plenty of work to be done.
Well, it must be a great beat that is going on because you have well over 1 million followers on Facebook. How do you keep up with that many people being interested in what it is you're doing? How do you do that?
You stay committed to it the same way you commit to your kids, the same way you commit to radio, the same way you commit to mentoring. I'm there every day at the same time with inspirational stuff. It takes a lot of time to find those posts and to keep everything organized and make sure that you're enlightening people and not offending people and keeping all the junk off your page. So, I mean, it's a lot of work if you really want to be successful at social media. And then again, you know, there's the scripts, the movie scripts. We're going to make God's Gift to Women and Men Cry in the Dark and Maintenance Man movies. And so we've been working on those scripts. So there's just nonstop work since I left.
Okay, so now that you've brought up writing once again, let's go backwards. Your latest book, Raise Your Hand, If You've Got an Issue, what's that all about?
I mean, the reason why I came up with that title is because I wanted people to admit they had issues. You know, it's kind of like Alcoholics Anonymous. You can't, first step of recovery is admission, right?
That's
so I
right.
People to admit that they had an issue, and we all have issues, and I have a lot of issues. I've got issues that I've encountered since I've been on radio. And so for me, being a cancer man, I'm a very empathetic man, so I feel other people's pain, which is what made me so successful at doing what I did. And so I talked about everything from being single, not being a disease, to people learning how to be married the right way, to dream killers, to being around negative people, to what's going on with our kids. Everything that we discussed on the show, I discussed in the book.
Now, that's interesting. You bring up a subject that's very close to my heart, and that is folks choosing to be around negative people. You know, in my book, Redefining Diva, I talk about the necessity to live in your joy, to follow your passion. Folks just make it more complicated than it really is. What do you think?
And it's even more challenging for people of color because we have less. And so, you know, that crab in a barrel mentality pops up, and then we end up pulling each other down, not realizing there's enough for all of us if we work together.
That's right.
So a lot of it is cultural. Some of it is just the way people think in this country, being a capitalist country where those who have more are viewed as being better and those who have less are viewed as being lazy. And just a lack of education, a lack of enlightenment, a lack of hope, and it could make you negative. So we talk about all that.
That's wonderful, because you said the lack of education. Why do you think it is that education has gone down so low on the totem pole of our existence? We just don't seem to be going after it. What has happened?
It's easy to watch reality TV than to read a book. You know, reading a book takes time. It takes discipline. It has to be something that you're either forced to do or something that you love to do. And unfortunately, many of our parents don't read, so the children don't become readers. And a lot of our men don't read a book from cover to cover until they go to prison. And that's something that can't be acceptable.
That is unacceptable. You also said something earlier about being single is not a disease. I read I was reading an article, and it said that a statistic that black women were the most uncoupled people on the planet, and that most black women could expect that they would not have a significant other in their life. That, to me, is far from a disease. That's a tragedy, if it's in any way true.
But
any
thoughts? You don't solve that. Yeah, but you don't solve that, Cheryl, by focusing on the fact that they're single, you know. And that's what we end up doing. It's like focusing on a disease instead of the cause. So by badgering women and pressuring them to be in relationships, we don't help them get in healthy relationships. All we do is pressure them into being in unhealthy relationships. So even you who are in a successful relationship, you were once single. So it's not like we're born to be married. We're born single. So you have to learn how to love being in your own space before you can love being with someone else. And that's kind of the focus, is not to live in fear of being alone, because you will make bad choices.
You will make bad choices. Now, what do you think about the thought that they say if there's one thing a woman will do if she does get married, is she will marry some version of her father or a fantasy thereof or of her father? What do you think about so many women who just don't have one? Who are they marrying?
I think that's a good point. I mean, but my point is, I can't focus on that because the father wasn't there. So what do women do? You can't focus on the image of the father. I think the most important thing that women can do, and men too who are single, is focus on you, because that's the only thing that you can control and repair. And I think the most important thing is to have standards. Now, unfortunately, many of us don't learn this until we get much older. By then, we've made all the mistakes that, you know, inevitably cost us financially, emotionally, sometimes in terms of diseases and everything else. So instead of focusing on who they're going to be with and who they're going to marry, we got to start focusing on not only self-esteem, but standards and boundaries. And, you know, you have to learn what your boundaries are. And nobody talks about boundaries. It's always love and romance and living happily ever after. But if you don't have standards, how do you know what kind of man you want? If you don't have boundaries, how do you know how far is too far? So I think that if we keep having the same conversation, we're going to have the same results, and we're not doing very well with these results.
Yes, what has been said, if you keep doing the same thing over and over and expect a different result, then that's just being crazy.
You're crazy. And that's why I write, Cheryl. That's why I write. That's why I speak. That's why I thought the radio show was successful, because it was different. There's not many programs that you can see on television that are different. When something comes on that's different, people gravitate to it. We're afraid of different, but people really want different. It's a little harder to change, but when they see it and they see the quality of what can be different and how it can work for them, they gravitate to it. But we're so afraid to step outside of our box in terms of what kind of relationships we have, in terms of how we're single, in terms of how we pursue happiness, whether it's through creative business or whether it's through having children or adopting, mentoring. We got to get out of this convention, whatever this convention is. I don't even know what the hell convention is anymore, because everything, almost yeah. everything that we do is a failure. The education system is a failure. Marriage as an institution is a failure. And nobody's willing to step out and say, you know what, why don't we try something different? And I'm for the life of me, I don't understand why we haven't asked ourselves that question.
I think it's what you just said. People are afraid of it. People want change, but they are afraid of change because change hurts. Change is difficult. Change means that something about you has got to change, and folks don't want that, really.
But the leadership, you know, who of us is out there besides me is willing to say, even people who are happily married, let me give you an example. Even a happily married person has got to look at the next person and say, look, this is the way I'm married. But it doesn't mean it's going to work for you this way. I was married for 25 years, but you may not stay married for 25 years and you can still have a happy relationship. It's like we're selling people the ideal and the fantasy without selling them the reality. And the reality is your marriage can't be like my marriage. Your marriage may not last as long as my marriage. You can't use the same technique of raising your kids, and you can't deal with your man the same way I'm dealing with mine. And if we understand that, then we can start doing the work of what it takes to be in that specific kind of relationship and stop being in this bubble of expectations of what being in a relationship and being in a marriage and being a parent means, because it means something different to each set of parents and to each child, and we need to recognize that.
Absolutely. And there is no knight in shining armor. There is only the great love that you find if you're fortunate enough to find that. And it is not easy. And even when you do get married, it is not easy. People forget that you go through relationships. You have your ups, your downs, your ebbs, and your flows. But what about creating that firm foundation for your relationship? These things take work. And nowadays, it seems that more and more folks just don't want to put the work in to a relationship.
You know why? Because they say that the foundation is love. And to me, it's just not. The foundation is
what do you think it is? If it's not love, what is it?
It's friendship. Because friendship is the one thing that usually survives everything. So if you're a true friend, no matter what happens in your relationship, you survive it. Because friendship embodies communication. Friendship embodies compromise. Friendship embodies acceptance. And see, those are the three things that love doesn't guarantee. Love doesn't embody acceptance. Love is an emotion. It's very vague and ambiguous. So if you don't define what it is, friendship is very clear to most people. You got to talk to your friends. You got to accept your friends. You know, your friends are going to change. You're going to grow together. And if you think about, if we thought more of our relationships as friendships being the foundation and not love, I think we would have more successful relationships. And even with your friendships, when you grow apart, you can see each other years later and still click just like
that's
that.
That's right.
So
that's
so
right.
Can you think about how many friendships outlast marriages? I rest my case.
Well, bringing up the whole issue of friendship, I always tell young women, listen, don't be afraid of a prenup. Agree to agree while you like each other, while you're really in love. Because if if it's a 50-50 chance that your marriage isn't going to work, wouldn't you like to have a wonderful contract that you all worked out when you were in love and truly liked each other as friends until you wait until it's over and you have these awful, ugly divorces? What do you think about prenup?
Shirley Roth about to get her eyes scratched out by every woman listening to the radio show. You are right. You are
yes.
Right. Hold on. You are right. But boy,
thank
you.
You
know women don't want to hear that. And here's the, and men don't either. Here's the killing part, as we say in Chicago, because I'm a South Side of Chicago boy.
All right now.
They don't want to sign a will. They don't want to get no health insurance. And they don't want to sign a prenup. You know, I don't know what it is about us that we don't understand that marriages and relationships are businesses too.
Yes, that's right.
Love, yes, it's romance. Yes, it's growing together, but it's a business too. You sign a contract of marriage.
That's right.
It's the first right that people have when you marry them. And if we don't understand that, then again, why don't we understand it, Cheryl? Because it's love. Love conquers all. That's the fantasy we've been taught by Hollywood. Love does not conquer all. It doesn't. And if people understood that, there would be more communication about some of the things that can go wrong in a marriage and how people change in a marriage. But love doesn't.
That's right.
It doesn't. It just doesn't.
That's right. And I will say it once again. We want prenup. Ladies, get it in your heads and learn how to negotiate for yourselves while the light of love is shining on both of you, and get yourselves into some premarital counseling. It's one of the greatest things you can do for each other. Don't wait until the relationship goes sour. Get premarital counseling before you say I do. Have you ever done anything like that, Michael?
Why don't I expect you to say call 1-888-793-7? You know, I expected an 800 number. You sounded like a prenup agency, you know.
Hey!
I believe in everything that you stated. You know, I have a chapter in the book on prenuptial agreements. It's so funny. I'm listening to you talk about this stuff. And for me, I stated the same thing. Look, we have to stop fantasizing about relationships. This is 2013. We're looking at the reality of what relationships bring, not to mention the abuse. You know, we got abusive situations. Men and women are abusive. And one of the biggest issues that we're not talking about, and I talk about this in the book, how roles have changed. You know, this conventional idea that the man is the leader just because he's a man. Look, the woman is working. The woman has education. The woman travels. The woman reads. The woman starts business. The woman owns a house. And they do these things in greater numbers than we do. So why is it the question that just because he has male genital parts, that he is automatically the leader? I think that women have to start challenging men on this, and not for the purpose of being combative, but to say if you're going to be the leader, you got to demonstrate your worthiness to lead and not just be given the title of leadership because you are a male. And even if you are being given the title of leadership, recognize the talent I'm bringing to the table and the resources I'm bringing to the table, and understand some of those decisions are better made by me than you. And a lot of men can't handle that, but we better start learning to handle it, because these women are not our mothers and grandmothers.
This is Cheryl Lee Ralph, so don't go anywhere, because I'm learning a lot. We'll be right back.
For more than two decades, Rory G. Edwards has established himself as an internationally recognized leader and innovator in the world of education, athletic wellness, and lifestyle management transformation.
A man should decide what he wants to do with his life.
But every time you ask them what was the greatest challenge, they would always say the black male.
I just do the work. A lot of people I know who look at it for their 15 minutes of fame, and this is my life's walk. When I leave here, people will say, that he ain't never stopped this. No, I never will stop it.
He has partnered with educational institutions, business professionals, and community leaders.
Everybody's told me about the hundreds of thousands of individuals who are doing this work, and I applaud all the people who are doing this work. But the thing is that you can't do this work just in your basement.
The Rory G. Edwards Show with Sheila Robinson.
We'll start taking some callers. I know we have some people that are probably out there waiting and wondering when they'll get a chance to speak to the one, the only, Mr. Rory T. Edwards.
Some people can inspire changes in others by simply the power of their word.
Join us each and every Sunday evening, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on the Rory T. Edwards Show with the amazing Sheila Robinson.
is Cheryl Lee Ralph, and welcome to another divinely inspired, victoriously anointed Diva Moment. Stress can be a real killer, resulting in symptoms that include high blood pressure, headaches, stomach aches, chest pains, sleepless nights, alcohol, and drug abuse, just to name a few. These symptoms signal that you are not managing your life well. In fact, life is working your last nerve, and some life changes need to be made sooner than later. So take the time right now to stop and honestly examine your life. Has it become all about everybody else and not yourself? In stressful times, you need to put yourself first. Many of us live life thinking that it's wrong to think about ourselves. So we give all we have to others, leaving nothing for ourselves. When you leave nothing for yourself, you become unhappy. When you're unhappy, you usually make everybody else unhappy. And when mama's not happy, nobody's happy. So when you're feeling stressed, put your own mask on first and breathe. Smile, knowing that there are signs and wonders all around. Take time to notice them. Find your joy and begin living the kind of life that God wants for you. Stress-free. This has been Cheryl Lee Ralph with another divinely inspired, victoriously anointed Diva Moment.
WXRP Radio is looking to partner with your business. Could your business use more branding and exposure? Could your business use more customers? Well, WXRP Radio is here to help. Advertise with WXRP Radio and give your company the advertising boost that it needs. With packages as low as $30, WXRP Radio is the way to go. Let us get your company information out to our listeners. For more information, call 678-744-WXRP or email us at sales@WXRPradio.com. That's sales@WXRPradio.com. Let WXRP Radio help you grow your business. WXRP Radio, the station that listens.
This is Cheryl Lee Ralph, and welcome to another divinely inspired, victoriously anointed Diva Moment. Are you living a happy life, or are you in fear of happiness? You heard me. Are you afraid of being really, truly happy? You know, a lot of people are afraid to be happy, afraid to pursue their dreams because someone told them that their dream was impossible or unreachable. So they push their dreams aside and happiness aside too, just going through the motions of day-to-day life, afraid to step out in faith and live life on their own happy terms, afraid that there will be nobody there to help them if they fall or fail. Well, the truth is, we all fall sometimes, and if you're looking for a helping hand, you will find one right there at the end of your own arm. If you do fall, then pick yourself up. Encourage yourself. Don't let anyone steal your dreams. No, hold on to them, live them, and start being the fearless, happy person God wants you to be. This has been Cheryl Lee Ralph with another divinely inspired, victoriously anointed Diva Moment.
This is your Diva, Cheryl Lee Ralph, with more divinely inspired, victoriously awesome conversation. And I know that you, just like I, have been enjoying this conversation with Michael Bazin, and I am glad we've got him on the radio and he is here with us on Diva Talk Radio. because I know you're a busy man with things to do, but I really wanted to give some serious time to your mentorship program. Can you tell us about that, please?
Everything that we talked about today starts at home. And if we know the parents aren't doing the job, many of them aren't, and don't have school, have the education. And even with dual parents in the household, sometimes it's just not enough. I mean, that old saying that it takes a village to raise a child is real.
Yeah.
Thanks to our black men, Frederick Douglass, quote, I'm not going to quote, but I'll paraphrase him, saying it's easier to teach young men than it is to repair grown men. And so if we know there's a problem, back to the word responsible, what is my response as a man who has resources, who has information, is to get out there and make a difference and not just talk about it. Yes, I traveled around the country and the 70 cities on the bus and invested $500,000 of my own money for the 1 million mentors to raise awareness about mentoring. Yes, I led the Gina 6 March to raise awareness about those young men and injustices around the country. Yes, I promoted for the president, and nobody else was more passionate about getting him elected and reelected than I was, and I raised awareness about Trayvon Martin. But it doesn't stop. And see, that's the difference between people who do things because they're trying to shine for a job, and there's people who do it because they genuinely care, like you and myself. So it has always been my passion to get more deeply involved in mentoring, and I mean in terms of getting my hands on some of these boys, because it's one thing for them to hear my voice, it's another thing for them to feel my presence. So
right.
When I had a chance to move to Orlando, I'm only here because they had an incredible mentoring platform here that I wanted to be a part of. That's why I chose Orlando, because of how effective the radio station and the mentoring organizations were working together. And I got an opportunity at an event when a young teacher named Jarvis Wheeler approached me and said, I have a class of 28 sophomores, and they're going to kick these young men out of the school if we can't get their performance up. And he's been working with them for a year. I said, I'd come by for a day. After I stepped in that classroom, I said, man, I'm dedicated for the 2 years until these boys graduate. You can't just pop in and tell them your story and leave and think you're going to transform their life. That's not real.
That's right.
I'm committed to raising money and helping them pay for their college. I'm committed to being a mentor to them. We hang out with them. We play basketball. We watch movies together. I'm there every Tuesday in the classroom with them. So that's important to me, and it's inspiring a lot of people to understand the importance of what it means to be a mentor, especially for our boys, because we're losing them.
And so many of them just do not have the image of another man, a grown man, in their life. And if there's one thing that men react to, young men, men, period, it is other men in their life. I was listening to somebody, and they were talking about young rhinos, and they said these young white rhinos in the zoo at night were just trampling in an open zoo at night anything smaller. And they said, but wait a minute, usually these rhinos, they don't hurt anybody because they don't have to, because they have no enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought came out after watching them was the fact that, one, they were all young. They had no older rhino around them to stop them. So they just went wilding every night because they could. Now, there you go.
There's no protection. Go ahead.
I mean, that's it, absolutely. There was nobody to protect them enough to say, look, we don't do that because we don't have to do that. We can exist here and be the king. They can say the lion is the king, but we know who the real king is. Who's bigger than we are? Who's stronger than we are? They had nobody to teach them. So what they did was just took the worst path. And I think too often that's what we see happening to young men in our neighborhoods. There's nobody to give them the consistent, constant, in your face, yes, I love you, here are the boundaries kind of love.
Exactly. And the one thing that I emphasize with them is I'm a man of my word. If I tell you I'm going to be here every Tuesday, I'm going to be here. If I tell you I'm going to take you on a trip, I'm going to take you. If I tell you I'm going to take photographs with you, if I tell you I'm going to do something, you can count it as done, because that's what I need them to understand. When you tell me something, when you agree to something, then I expect you to stand up to that. And so it's the example that a woman can't be to a man that men can be and we have to be. Because a woman could raise a young man, but she still can't be an example of a man. And so
correct.
I'm doing everything I can to inspire other men to do the same.
And all it takes is, I hate to use the phrase, but it just takes a few good men. A few good men can do some incredible things for a whole lot of young men who are in desperate need. You know, just like you, I go out and I talk across this country, and I say our young men do not come out of the womb with a message or a stamp on them that sends them directly to prison. A whole lot of other things transpire that puts them on that trajectory. I ask myself all the time, why is it in too many cities that diagonally across the street from a community college, you will find a jail? And why are so many of our... Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Michael.
The first book that I had my class read was Carter G. Woodson, Miseducation of the Negro. And the second book that we're reading now is Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys. The education system that we have doesn't educate us or our parents or our children. It doesn't even work for white people, so it's certainly not going to work for black people. I mean, look at the failure of this country overall in terms of where we are with math and science. I mean, we're in 20-something with math and science, so we're not even successfully educating white people. So you can
right.
imagine what the system, how the system is failing people of color and people on a low economic spectrum. So, again, how do we respond to that? If we know that the education system is not doing that, then turn off the damn video and the reality TV and say, look, I know you've been in school all day, but you didn't really learn what you need to learn to stay out of jail, to be successful. So here's this book that you need to read. I need you to read one of these a week. It's a very thin book. You know, maybe read 100 pages a week that you need to get two educations at the same time. You go take care of that business that you're forced to do to get those grades to graduate, and then you get the education you must get to survive. And so that's what I mean about being responsible. We know all these things are the problem, but what are we going to do about it? And that's why I'm in the schools not just talking, I'm giving them literature. You know, you got to start reading because that's what transformed me. I didn't just turn into this person because I saw something on television. I turned into this person because I started reading. Reading is what created the person that I am today. Miseducation of the Negro, Visions for Black Men Obsolete, Single and Dangerous, Destruction of the Black Civilization. I mean, it goes on and on. The books that I read just completely blew my mind, and I realized that I had a responsibility as a black man. And even white people will benefit from black education because we wouldn't be so insecure and so violent toward them and toward each other if we had more education and self-esteem about who we were. And that's really at the heart of our problem. Our self-esteem is low. We're very insecure. When you have to walk around muscular, when you have to walk around tattooed up and posturing and loud and showing off, that's insecurity, okay? Nine times out of ten, that is insecurity. And we have got to address that issue of insecurity, which is a lack of self-awareness and a lack of self-love and a lack of self-knowledge if you want to get to the root of the problem.
Michael Bazin, I have certainly enjoyed having you on Diva Talk Radio today. How can people follow you on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever it is you've got going on out there?
I live on Facebook every day. I blog every morning. I blog every night, sometimes during the day if I'm available, at Bazin Live. It's my last name, BASDENLIVE, Bazin Live on Twitter, Bazin Live on Facebook. And the new book, once again, is Raise Your Hand If You Have Issues, and it's available on all e-books and, of course, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and it'll be in stores on November 19th.
Thank you so much for your time today. This is Cheryl Lee Ralph. You've been listening to me here on Diva Talk Radio with my wonderful guest today, Michael Bazin. Michael, before you go, when can we expect to hear you back on the radio?
I have to let, you know, I'm not a religious person, but I'm a very spiritual, universal kind of karma kind of guy. I can't make that decision. You know, when the time is right, Arsenio tells his story about when he came back. You have to wait until it's time. And so I hope that time is next year. And if it is, I'll be back. And if it isn't, I'll be back when it's time to come back.
There you go. Anything else before you go? Anything else that's coming that we can look out for? What else?
The movie script. Oh, my God, the movies. That has been my dream from the very beginning. I only started writing because I wanted to make movies. God's Gift to Women treatment is done. The Men Crying in the Dark treatment is being completed. The script for God's Gift will be done in a couple of months. Maintenance Man, we're going to start working on that script. So we will be making movies. We got to start having more stories. What Tyler is doing is great. What Spike and John Singleton has done has been great. But we need more voices. We need more stories. We need more perspective.
That's right.
In the movie business, and I'm going to offer that.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. And if you ever want to come on to talk about anything, you always know that the diva, divinely inspired, victoriously aware, Cheryl Lee Ralph on Diva Talk Radio is here to share the airwaves with you. Always love talking with you, Michael.
Thank you, Cheryl. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, this is Cheryl Lee Ralph, and you have been listening to Diva Talk Radio. I enjoyed that, and I know you did too. Well, 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 this has been a good, good day for some awesome conversation. I know that you heard some nuggets of wisdom there that Michael was talking about when it came to relationships, when it comes to our responsibility to each other in relationships. Oh, it was just a wonderful day of conversation, divinely inspired, victoriously awesome conversations. You know that when it's Friday and it's Diva Talk Radio, I am Cheryl Lee Ralph, and I will be back next week with more of the kind of conversation that you are looking for. And remember, when you get up tomorrow morning, I want you to look in the mirror and love what you see, because God does not make mistakes. I love you. Talk with you next week.
I don't know about you, but I'm going to say it one more time. Every day above ground is a good day. Hello. Follow me on Twitter at The Cheryl Ralph. This is Cheryl Lee Ralph. Post a good pic and a selfie. Follow me on Instagram, Diva3482. I want to see you.